Today we're going to talk about faith in Yeshua Messiah. Faith. I didn't have this in my notes, so let's quickly go to Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. You know, it's amazing. The Lord gives you stuff, and oftentimes it's not the most obvious thing because He wants you to dig out the better stuff. We visited with the temple last night. Joel Newman, the past president, gave a very moving message on faith and how important it is, and it was amazing. It really was amazing. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. If you can see it, then it's not faith. If you're looking for something to happen in your life and you can see it, it's not faith. Faith is being certain of the things you cannot see. By faith, we know that God made the worlds at a command. You can't see that. You can go to every science class you want to. They're still trying to explain away the creation because they don't have any faith. Faith means you believe God. Faith means you believe Him. So the first thing we have to establish before we go any further is, do you believe God? Do you believe Him? When you open the pages of this book and it says, you must do thus and such, do you believe that? Because I know a lot of people spend a lot of their time explaining away the words here. Well, it doesn't necessarily mean that. Oh, really? Well, I didn't see a caveat somewhere else. I didn't find in the prophets where He said that's not what He meant. I didn't find where Yeshua said, well, you know, you don't have to do it. I didn't see that. I see where Yeshua took every one of those commandments and magnified them. You know, under the law, if I didn't commit adultery with anybody, I'm innocent. But under Yeshua, if I look at any of the ladies in here and be thinking bad thoughts, I'm guilty. That didn't take the standard down. That raised it up. So how do you get away with throwing away the fourth commandment? If looking at a woman is committing adultery, then how do we get away with actually working on the Sabbath? Seemed like to me, if I'm thinking about work too much on the Sabbath, I'm guilty. Based on Yeshua's standard, we got to believe Him. Why do we break the things we break? Every one of us have got sins in here. I got my own share. My hands aren't clean. Now, those of us who have been doing sin lists, we do them twice a year, y'all. I only have to worry about what I've done since atonement because from atonement back, it's done. Unless I left it off my list. I don't like to leave it off my list. I want it gone. Right? When He forgives your sins, He throws them into the sea of forgetfulness. The Father tells the devil, it never happened. Until you do it again. Now I got it back. He said, don't pick that stuff back up. Leave it alone. It goes in the sea of forgetfulness. It's forgotten. But we don't forget, do we? Oh, we like that stuff. We go fishing in the sea to bring it back out. Come on. Come on, let's be honest. We're in church. It was just a lot of days. It's a Shabbat. We have got to learn how to believe God. We have got to learn how to believe. This is not romantic stories in a book. He's living. He was not left dead in the tomb. He was resurrected on the third day and is now at the right hand of God the Father. He lives in your heart through the Holy Spirit that lives in each one of you. You better learn to hear His voice. How can the living Christ live in your heart and you not hear His voice? That's like telling me you can't hear your own thoughts. Well, it is. Verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you don't believe that He exists, if you don't believe that He rewards those who diligently seek Him, then how can you ever please God? You see, faith is not a word of something that you have in a mental construct. We love this Greco-Roman way of thought that we have where it's an abstraction. Faith is not an abstraction. Even the Greek word itself, pistis, means belief that requires an action. So without an action, it's not really faith. It's just a mental acknowledgement. an action has to follow. You believe that the God of the universe wrote this book. And someone told me recently, well, I can't believe that. That's just blind faith. Really? Blind. Really? Blind. Really? It's obvious to me that person never took any science classes. Because when you start learning about science, real science, then you start finding out that God put lots of it in the book. For instance, in the book of Job, God talks about the channels for the rain. You don't get that in physical science at the entry-level classes. That's the stuff you get in the 300-level classes. The channels for the rain. God told Job in the Stone Age about that. How could Job have known about channels for the rain? How could Job known about the channels for the lightning? He couldn't have. It was impossible for Job to know that in ancient history. We know it now. Oh, I guess that proves the Bible, huh? Years ago, I was in a denomination. We did a lot of archaeological work by a guy, Ronald, what was his last name? Many of you know the book because we talk about it here all the time, The Exodus Case. There's an acknowledgement in the front of that book where the archaeologist who did the work is acknowledged for having done the work. He was in the denomination I came out of. Pharaoh's bones are on the ocean floor, baby, in the Red Sea. That's not blind faith. That stuff is down there. Okay, and the chariot wheels and the silver rims and the gold rims and Sodom and Gomorrah is covered with elemental sulfur, which does not exist in nature. So hot it burned into the rocks and the rocks melted over the top of it and you break the rocks open all over Sodom and Gomorrah and there's pure elemental sulfur in there. That don't happen, y'all. This ain't blind faith. The Bible record is accurate. The Bible record is true. It's not blind faith. It's the atheists that have blind faith because the Bible is true. And the record is all over the place. They're now uncovering, much to the chagrin of the Egyptian government, Hebrew inscriptions in Goshen. Guess where they lived? Goshen! You know the rock and Mount Horeb that was discovered? The Saudis have sealed it off because they can't sanitize all the Hebrew writing all over the place? It's accurate where they went in Saudi Arabia. You can look that up in Galatians, by the way. Mount Sinai is not in Egypt, it's in Arabia. You can look it up in Galatians. For any of you doubters. But it's all there. All the Bible evidence for the veracity of this book is there. The people that don't believe it are the ones who are full of religion. The people that don't believe it are the ones with blind faith. By living and believing and following this book, that's not blind faith, that's true faith. People have come to me for years seeking to learn rules on how to live, rules on how to keep the Sabbath, rules on what name to use, rules on which calendar to follow. All that's nonsense. There are no rules for a lot of this stuff. Where God does not give you specific rules or a procedure to follow, He's looking to you to see how you will honor Him. I do not live by the Torah to please other people. The point is a life built around belief of the God of this Bible. A life built around belief. The righteous will live by faith, not by rules. You either have rules and procedures, that's where everybody gets into trouble, or you live by faith. You know how simple the Sabbath is? Thou shalt not do any work. That's your rule. What does that mean? Means you don't work, but everything else is okay. God's law is easy. His burden is light. How do you complain about getting a day off? Normally we complain because we can't get a day off, amen? And God says you got a day off, and well, I can't go to work on the Sabbath. I still have trouble with that one. Romans chapter 1. I live by the Torah to demonstrate my faith that the God of this Bible is real. There is no other reason. I don't try to earn my salvation because, believe me, I have a sin list. And when we burn a sin list on March 27, you will see the paper in my hand. And you know what? It will be clutched just as tight as yours is. And you won't be able to get it out of my hand anymore. I'm going to be able to get yours out of your hand. Amen. They're going to be tight in there, right? Hey, just like yours will be tight in your hand, mine will be tight in mine. And I'll be putting it in the fire. And like everybody else, I'll be standing around making sure it burns.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. We all sinners saved by grace. That's just all there is to that. We are all sinners saved by grace. I don't live by Torah to earn my salvation. I don't live by Torah to show that I'm better. I don't live by Torah to show that I'm more righteous. I live by Torah because it is the only means to demonstrate my faith that's given in the Holy Bible. If you do not live by Torah, you are not demonstrating faith in Yeshua Messiah. I didn't write it. That's in the book. So either you live by the Torah and that is your demonstration of faith, or you're still holding back on God and you got some unbelief. Oh, that's hard preaching. I know it is. It's hard preaching. But it's straight preaching and it's real preaching, and it'll save your tail from the lake of fire if you'll follow it. Come on. I mean, that's what we're looking for, right? Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. Are you a servant of Christ Jesus? You know, later in this book, he says you're a servant to whom you yield your members to obey. Whether you yield your members to obey God and are a servant of righteousness, or you yield your members to obey sin and are a servant of sin. Are you a servant of Christ Jesus? That means you yield your members to obey Him. Called to be an apostle, set apart for the good news of God. The good news He promised beforehand through His prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding His Son. So in the prophets, it says God is going to bring His Son. Does it not? Does not Isaiah say that? God will be with us. He will be called Emmanuel. To us a Son is given. Upon Him the government will be upon His shoulders. Do we not have these promises in the prophets? And Paul is called to give you this good news regarding His Son, who as to His human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead. Do you believe He was resurrected from the dead? Do you believe He was the promised Son of David who was going to come and suffer for the sins of the world? Do you believe that He's the promised Son that was going to suffer for your sins, and that your sins were obliterated when you accepted His sacrifice and you took your responsibility for it? Do you believe that? Then it means we got to live the way He told us to live from that point on, because we become a servant of Christ Jesus. And it's not a servant of yourself. I'm not a servant of Billy Schultz. You know, when I sat down and put the Passover music together, I had music I wanted to pick. Sure, I got my favorite stuff too. The Lord wasn't going to hear any of that. After I picked the first three sets, He still wasn't going to hear it. So another day, I'm coming back, I'm going to pick the music for the first day of Unleavened Bread. And I go to grab some of my songs. He said, put that back. Get my stuff back out. But Lord, I've already given them so many new songs to do. They'll get over it. Servant of Christ Jesus means I serve Him. He doesn't serve me. So we got this backwards where we always want God to serve us. Oh God, make my house payment. Oh God, clear the way for this. Oh God, deliver me from that. Oh God, oh God. He's not a genie in a bottle. Poof, what do you want? Poof, what do you want? Poof, what do you want? We're His servants. We're the ones that are supposed to go, poof, what do you want? Poof, what do you want? We got this whole deal backwards. Through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Him and for His name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to what? What was He? What does He receive grace and apostleship to call these folks to? Clappy, happy, fun in church? What does He receive grace and apostleship to? To call these people to get their car payment made and their house payment made and their kids delivered from drugs? That's not what it says, does it? The obedience that comes from faith. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. The first five verses tell you the whole Christian walk in a nutshell. We have been called to obey Torah because we believe He's God. That's it. I've been in this a long time, y'all. I've been through a lot of stuff. I'm here to tell you that if you have faith that's going to carry you through the stuff you're going to go through, you've got to walk His way of life to show Him you believe. I've lost everything in my life that can be lost. You've got to hold on to the zits on His robe and walk out His Torah, because that carries you through the trial. Look, I'm not turning there, but in the book of Hebrews it says that Jesus Himself was made perfect because of what He suffered. So what makes any of us think we're not going to suffer? If Christ was made perfect through suffering, we just got to get in line and get ready, because it's coming. But we got to hold on to our belief. We got to hold on to our walk in the Torah. Why do you think the Jewish people have qualified to rule the world? It's because they've proved faithful to the Torah through our best efforts to persecute it out of them. What makes you think you're going to walk with them in white if you're not willing? I'm working on a book on character. God made you a little clay figurine of Himself, and He made you live by putting the breath of life in you. I clean clinics and I see the medical charts all over the place all the time. Some of y'all are in medical. You know what I'm talking about. And I think to myself, did God fashion each one of these parts when He made Adam? Did He take His hands and form his spinal cord? Did He take His hands and form the vertebra? Did He take His hands and form each organ and each vessel and each vein? Doesn't say. How could He just shape up a little outside figurine and bam, all of those parts are miraculous? If you've ever looked at the human body, David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Look, I clean a neurologist and they got a chart of how the brain is wired up, and I'm just in total awe. You know, you got dual hard drives up here? Look at it from my IT perspective. You got dual hard drives linked together. They can literally take one whole half of your brain out and you're still running wide open, baby. Fearfully and wonderfully made. You think He went to all that time and all that trouble and all that detail and He doesn't care? You think He went to all that time and all that trouble and all that detail and He's just going to stand off somewhere and watch how it all plays out without being involved? Do you really think He went to all that time and all that trouble and all that detail and worked so hard to make everything just exactly right? Look around the room. None of us has any of the same facial features. He made every single one of us different. Not one of us has gone through any of the same experiences. Maybe a few shared ones, common to humanity, but every one of us has gone through different stuff in our life. You know why? Because God took the time to hand make every single one of us to look the way we look. He has taken the time and the care and the nurturing to shape every single event in our lives exactly the way our personality has to have it to be who He makes us to be in His kingdom. Nothing in our life is chance. And it's full of suffering, isn't it? Because you see, the suffering is important. God created Lucifer to be perfect, and yet iniquity was found in him. He made us imperfect so that we can work iniquity out of us. And that iniquity is worked out of us through the suffering that we go through. He gives us His Holy Spirit. He puts us in adverse circumstances. Why? So that we can work out the rebellion that says, I'm not going to do what He says this time. We can work it out of ourselves. We go through the hard times over and over and over again. So He can work it out of us. I'm going to disobey Him this time. And after a while, we're like, I don't want to disobey Him anymore. I love my God. I believe my God. He's the great God. He saved me. He delivered me. He washed me in the blood. I don't want to disobey Him anymore. I want to start doing it His way. He's going to knead us like a potter kneads clay till we finally yield to His hands. Come on, somebody. That's faith. That is faith being willing to be kneaded by the eternal God. That's why He made us out of mud. Come on, y'all didn't get that. Y'all must not have played with mud when you were little kids. Is that it? I'm too old. We all used to play in the mud when we were kids, but y'all didn't do that? Y'all must have had games or something, because we were all just playing in the mud, man. Come on, we hit in the mud. Mama be terrified to us, so. Living by the Torah does not buy your life. Yeshua bought your life. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. He bought, I'm not going there. He bought your life. He bought and paid for you. Now, you know, we're like going to Best Buy. Oh, they got stuff on sale. And you buy something, but you get it home. And the thing you buy goes, nah, I ain't doing it. Well, what do you mean? I bought you at Best Buy. You're mine. You got to do what I want. No, I ain't doing it. I don't care if you bought me. You want to watch the game? I'm going to run Food Network till I'm tired of running Food Network. Now, what if your TV did that? Would you take it back? Quick, fast, and hurry, right? Well, I don't care if you want to watch Food Network. I'm running the stock channel. Hey, this lady learned to like it. You'd take it back, wouldn't you? But we do that to Yeshua Messiah all the time. He bought and paid for you to run Torah. And we're like, I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. He bought you to run Torah. He bought you to be the example to the folks out there that don't have Him yet. This is how to live. This is how to do it. This is what my servant looks like. And we're like, I don't want to do that. He bought us already. What do you want to do? You want him to take you back to the store? Get a refund? You can't get a refund. He bought you with his blood. If he paid for you with money, he might take you back and get a refund. But he paid for you with his blood. There's no refund. You're in now, whether you like it or not. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. Doesn't mean you don't live it. It means if you rely on it to have your right standing with God, you're under a curse. Why are you under a curse? Because it said, cursed is every person who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. That leaves us all out, me included. Bingo, we're all done. Ha, it's over. Every one of us has broken the Torah in this last week. Maybe over stuff we didn't know. Maybe over stuff we knew. But we all broke it. If you're relying on your law keeping to get you in the kingdom of heaven, it's done. Stick a fork in us. It's over. Because we didn't continue to do everything written in the book of the law. There's no earning your salvation with God. So we don't keep the Torah to earn our salvation. We keep the Torah to demonstrate that we believe Him. We keep the Torah to demonstrate that we understand we are saved by grace. If you're not keeping the Torah, then you're demonstrating to God, the Father, and the Son, Yeshua Messiah, that you do not believe you're saved by grace. Wow, that's heavy. That's heavy word. Clearly known as justified before God by the law because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming the curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Some of y'all got the Spirit before you started living by faith. Okay, cool. Be happy. That does not in any way absolve you from living by the Torah. Because living, even though you received the Spirit before you got the Torah, that doesn't matter. It just means you're in. It means you can't go back. It means now you got to get right whether you like it or not. Oops. God tricked you. How many of y'all prayed the Lord's Prayer? You're done. Stick a fork in you, man. You want your forks? Miss Sandy, pass them out here in just a minute. Because you said, thy will be done on heaven as in earth, and His will is His Torah. And if you're not doing it, hey, you're in. The Christian who lives contrary to the Torah is showing by their actions they do not have faith in Yeshua as Messiah. People desire to have special rules to earn them favor of God. The Torah is all you get. You know, the special rule deal is called Gnosticism. It has all kind of forms and all kind of heresies, whether they be sacred names, special calendars, doesn't matter. You're imposing rules not imposed in the Torah. That's what Jesus excoriated the Pharisees for all the time. There are rules. He never ever challenged their keeping the Torah. He just challenged, and they'll tell you, they built a fence around it. Okay, I don't begrudge those people that, because as much as they've been through, I'd probably build a better fence around it than the one they built, okay? But what the Torah does not require of you, I cannot require. Now, I might be convicted that I'm not to do certain things, But I can't talk to you about that. I mean, I can talk to you in fellowship, you know, where the Lord convicted me, I can't do this and such. That's just so we can have an easier time together. But I can't come along and say, you know, the Lord convicted me that all of us have to do this. Hey, if I got no Torah for it, you ain't going to hear it preached up here. Because I can't put my convictions on you. I can just teach you through God-made rules. Amen? Anything more than that, I'm imposing a man-made burden on you. But now the God-made rules, you know, I got to go with that. There's no hidden knowledge. There's no special rules. There's faith in Yeshua to pay your penalty, and there is His Torah for you to show that you really believe. If you want to be righteous, you have to have faith. The righteous shall live by faith. The Greek word is pistis, and it means that your understanding will be backed up by an action. Living by the Torah is the only action you get to show that you really believe Yeshua is Messiah. James, chapter 2. A lot of folks don't like the book of James. How inconvenient. Verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no works? Can such a faith save him? Now, I didn't bother to look this up in the Greek because it's irrelevant. The word works is a technical Hebrew term meaning you live by the Torah. It's called the works of the law. That's why you see it translated that way in the old King James. Jesus was always talking about the works of the law, the works of the law, the works of the law. Paul always contrasts the works of the law with the works of the flesh. The works of the law are living by the Torah. The works of the flesh are transgressing the Torah. So, work of the law is being faithful to my wife. Work of the flesh would be having an affair on my wife. Because we've given up the Torah, look how commonplace that one act is right there. Look how commonplace. Big scandal being played out in the media right now for a former presidential candidate who was openly having an affair with a campaign worker and wanted other campaign workers to take the fall and cover up for it because he's such a great man. And I'm sorry to say that his example is only one of many in my time, a grown adult, to look at politics. There are pastors that have harems in the church because they're such great men of God, they've got to be taken care of. I don't even want to be standing next to them fools on Judgment Day. You hear what I'm saying? I don't even want to be standing next to them fools. If they even get into that part, it's going to be hard for them, man. Because every one of their good works is going to be burned to switches and ashes, man. No good. No good. You can't live like that and please God. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there's one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. What good did it do them? They're apostate from God. Faith without works is dead. That's works of the law, by the way. You foolish man. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. If you want complete faith, then you've got to put aside your fear. Faith and fear are opposites. When you have faith, you don't have any problem going to your boss and saying, this is how it's going to be. Because you know if you get fired, God is going to stand with you. I wandered into the wilderness of poverty for almost 20 years. My shoes didn't wear out on my feet. My clothes didn't wear out on my back. My children didn't get sick. I had growing children in need of clothes, and they showed up at the house in bags full that we had to give away the excess when they came. We never went in want or deprivation for anything. The whole 20 years in the wilderness, I couldn't have a job that made more than $1,000 a month the whole time. My budget was devastated. My household was racked with finance in ways most of y'all can't imagine. We never skipped a meal. We never skipped a holiday. We only missed Sabbath when we were sick or the kids had been vaccinated. We stood tall and God made it happen. He made it work. But you got to believe Him. How are you going to walk on water if you always stay in the boat? How are you going to go through the Red Sea if you're whining and fussing on the beach? If you want to see the mighty works of God in your house, if you want to see the mighty hand of God in your life, you got to walk out on the water. You got to get out of the boat. You got to go in the sea. You got to let Him be God. He created everything that can be seen with a word from His mouth. And you're worried about a job? You're worried about a house payment or a car payment? He is God and there is no other. He declares the end from the beginning because He's strong enough to make it happen that way. And He can tell the devil right to his face what he's going to do because he knows the devil can't stop him. But you know the devil stops us. You know why the devil stops us? Because we let him. The devil has only the power over you that you grant him to have. The devil has control on your workplace because you gave the devil control in your workplace. You've got to have enough faith in God to walk off of your job if that's required. Because you're going to have to walk off of some of them, y'all. We live in wicked days with wicked bosses who do not fear man or God, who don't care about justice, who don't care about the workplace rules. They don't give a rip about you. And the longer and the harder and the more you stay straight for God, they're going to hate your guts. Go back and read the book of Esther since we're in the season of Purim. Go back and read the book of Esther. Haman wasn't looking to take her out as queen. He was looking to exterminate her entire race of humans. Your boss ain't looking to accommodate you on this stuff. They're looking to fire you and deny your unemployment on the way out the door. What did Esther say? If I die, I die. I'm going in. Can we say that? See, that's faith talking. That's faith talking. I know my God's going to deliver me. It doesn't matter if I lose my job. It doesn't matter if I lose my head. It doesn't matter. What did the boys in the fire say? Oh, King, my God can save me from your old fiery furnace. But if He don't, I'm still cool with God. He's my friend. And He'll still be my friend if I burn. And we still cool if I burn. And it's still good if we burn because I know my God. And I know what it's going to be like on the other side. Do you got faith? See, nobody should be able to threaten a Christian with death. Do you really believe? Do you really believe that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? And how can they threaten you with death? You going to send me to the party early? Really? Come on now, don't call me late to no parties now. I'm the guy who helps you set up because we start when we break the stuff out, right? I'm the guy, last guy you kick out the house because you're ready to do something else. Don't call me late to no parties. Faith is believing and taking an action based on that belief. I was laying awake one night about a year ago thinking about why don't people want to keep the holy days? I just don't get it. And the Lord showed me faith versus fear. They don't keep the holy days because they're afraid. Faith says, I'm doing it. Fear says, what if I lose my job? I tell a story about my old friend, Terry Bean, who went to the Feast of Tabernacles in 2002 knowing full well they fired him if he went. They told him straight up, if you go to the Feast of Tabernacles, we are firing you. Man, been there 20 years. They denied his unemployment. He didn't care. He didn't care. There wasn't a question about whether he was going to keep God's commandments to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. Wasn't a question. Wasn't a question. Because you see, he had faith in that verse that says, when you go to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, or you go to keep the Feast of Passover, you go up to keep Shavuot, God will protect your stuff at the house. You go without fear. He didn't care what fell on him. He went without fear. And he went in faith that even if he lost his job, God would make it happen. We got to have that. That's faith in Yeshua Messiah. In this same way, Rahab the prostitute was considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and set them off in a different direction. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Can you live without the spirit in you? Look, I think about this all the time. I work for doctors, right? They do all these great things. They can't save your life. They can't save your life. They can't save your life. They can do all the medical stuff they want to. When God takes your spirit, it's over, baby. When God pulls your spirit, there's a dead body laying there. They can keep the cells alive, but you ain't there. Huh? Come on. James uses several examples from life, some from scriptures, but all the same. Verbal acknowledgement of your belief is not enough. It must be backed up with an action. If you accepted Him as your Savior, you're already blessed. Are you not? Now, a lot of y'all don't know this. Jesus did not die the first death on the cross. It is appointed unto man once to die. And we've all died since then. Believers and non-believers. Jesus took the second death from which there is no return. And He died that for you. The second death. Now, if you are a believer and you have accepted the sacrifice of Yeshua Messiah, He has already blessed you by removing you from the second death. If that ain't enough to worship Him, if that ain't enough to obey His Torah, I mean, He's taken you out of the list of people that are subject to the second death. If that ain't enough to serve Him, I don't know what is. Just go back and read Revelation and read about the second death. There's no coming back from the second death. Everybody gets resurrected from the first death, but nobody comes back. The second death, it's over. Amen. It's over. And you've been redeemed from that. So, do you not really want to worship Him? Do you not really want to serve Him? Do you not really want to live the way He's telling you to live? Therefore, because He saved me and He blessed me, I will live by His Torah. It's easy. It's easy. It just seems hard because we have things in our minds that tell us it's hard. But after you've lost your sixth or seventh or eighth job, it's another job. Next one's probably going to be better anyway because it couldn't be worse than the last one. Come on, I tell some of y'all ain't had many good jobs. Some of y'all maybe had the same job all your life. I've had a lot of jobs over time, right? I went through probably 8 or 9 jobs in 5 years at one point, right? I mean, you know, what's losing another job? I lost plenty. You know, I can't even lose my job now because I'm self-employed. I can't fire myself. Well, you end up coming to that, right? God don't have to bless my boss to bless me. He's got to bless me. I kind of like that. I got no middleman in there filtering my blessing. You right? Stealing half of it, right? It's just coming straight on in. All I gotta do is please Him. Come on now. Just please Him. And it's all good from there. That's why I saved my tithe to go to the feast days. Right? I skipped second tithe 3 weeks in 1988. 3 weeks. Rain is a tiny little baby, right? And I come home and I'm making not nearly enough money to pay for most of my bills. Forget about all of them. I mean, I'm not even in the most, I mean, you know, I can't even circle the wagons around the house payment because I ain't got enough to make the house payment, right? And I come home and Lanise is like, you know, Friday, y'all know how it is. We got no food. We didn't. Open the cabinets up. They look like a new house. They emptied. And no condiments or nothing. I mean, empty. Never forget that one day going to church. Open it up, there's nothing in it. It's like a new house, man. There's nothing in here. And I took my second tithe, my feast tithe, 3 weeks in a row when we bought groceries. After what I went through, after that, there's not a question about whether I'm saving my money to go to the Holy Days or not. I lost my house over that. I worked 3 jobs. I had people giving me money. And finally I realized I broke His commandments. this is what God has laid on me. Pick up your cross and be happy, because it don't matter how much money they give you. You just bleeding them people dry along with you, because you done lost your house, baby. Just a matter of when it's going to take place. Huh? That's what God laid on me for 3 weeks. No feast tithe. You can't beat me and make me not tithe. Minister called me up after I lost my house and he said, I understand you should be on church assistance. I told him, I said, you know what? I skipped my feast tithe 3 weeks last year and I've lost my house. I am paying my tithe. That's just all there is to it. He goes, I admire your faith. I said, that ain't faith. That's called a whooping. Now look, some of y'all ain't been whooped by the Lord and I can tell. I can tell. Let me tell you a little secret. After he bends you over his knee, you will have a different look. You will have a different countenance. When I'm talking about stuff in the Torah, I will see a look of working out how it's going to happen right now. Right? Instead of that look, oh, okay, Pastor. No. After you get turned over his knee one time, I can promise you, you will have a new outlook on life. And the things I say will have a lot more importance, and you'll be on them. But you know what? I've been trying to spare a lot of y'all that by telling you in advance what you got to do. Because let me tell you something. The Lord will spank. He don't think nothing of spanking you or me. And I've been spanked twice. Because see, I'm stupid in German. Right? The first time was improper execution. So I will execute better the next time. But after you've been spanked twice, you will have a real different outlook. I mean, you talk about change in your outlook and your countenance. If he said it in that book, it's, man, we're getting her done. We're getting her done. We're getting her done now. I appreciate the way Danny Jackson put it. Somebody was challenging him on tithing, and Danny said, yeah, I've been tithing since long before I came to Hungry Hearts, because if you don't tithe, stuff tears up. Exactly. 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 It's going to tear up, man. Give the Lord his little tiny tenth. You know, set your money aside for the holy days and come and celebrate them like you're supposed to. That's important to him. Stop and think about it for a minute. We're coming up on Passover, right? There are so many ways to look at Passover. One, the Passover table that is called by Christians the Last Supper, that's the betrothal. When you don't want to save your tithe and come and celebrate the betrothal, look what you're telling him is your priority on your marriage to him. Oh, that gets ugly. The night to be much observed is the rehearsal dinner. When you don't want to come and bring your tithe to Passover and keep these things, what are you showing him about the wedding and the rehearsal dinner? Oh, it gets better if you're keeping it, but worse if you're not. 4 cups of the Passover Seder. 4th cup is turned over and not poured. 4th cup is turned over and not poured. You've heard its Jewish name, the cup of Elijah, but that's not its technical name. It's not the cup of Elijah, even though they expect Elijah to come to a Passover in Jerusalem, flip the cup, pour it, and proclaim Mashiach's arrival. It's called the cup of consummation. That's why Yeshua said, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine till I drink it new with you. Think of what you're doing when you say, I'm not going to come and do these things. What about Sukkot? Oh, Pastor Bill, I don't want to take the time off for Sukkot. Oh, congregation, I don't want to hear it. I took a new job. It's going to cost me $450 to be off every day. Every single day. All 9 of them, because I got to set up. Right? That's just for me to be off of work. That don't count a dime of money to come and keep the feast. I have to save that up in my business just so that I can show up at church. $450 a day. That's real money. I got to write a check for that. But that's the feast of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ and the kingdom you've been called to serve in. So when you don't want to come to the Feast of Tabernacles and celebrate His kingdom, what are you telling Him about what you think about His kingdom and your place in it? Oh, man. How do you think you're going to serve in the kingdom of God under Yeshua Messiah if you're not willing to come? Oh. If you're not willing to put your feast tithe aside and invest in His kingdom, what are you telling Him? That's not faith. That's fear. Faith is I did it. Faith is I can do without. Faith is it doesn't matter. It's going to be okay. God's going to make it so. I told you, 20 years of poverty, my shoes didn't wear out. My clothes didn't wear out. My feet didn't swell. They were 40 years in the wilderness. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear off their back. Their feet didn't swell. Do we really believe He's the God of the universe? Belief has to be followed by an action, or it's just mental acknowledgement. It's not faith. It ain't about rules. It's about faith in Yeshua Messiah. In fact, if in fact He redeems you from death, you are obligated to obey Him. The gospel is all about bringing people to the obedience that comes from faith. No obedience, no faith. You follow me? It's the obedience that comes from faith. You got no obedience, you got no faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 5. I want you to see it again. Through Him and for His name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the lost. That's what Gentile means. Lost and without covenant in the world. To the obedience that comes from faith. And you are also among those who are called to belong to Christ Jesus. So if you've been called to belong to Christ Jesus, you no longer have the option to say, I don't want to do it. It's just a matter of surrendering your will to His will. Matthew chapter 15. And not only that, but you know, He really rigged it in our favor. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you talk about a test with the answer sheet laid face up in front of you. He put the Holy Spirit in you. That's Him living in you, right? He's giving you the answers continually. You didn't get that. He's given you a test to walk to show that you can be faithful to Him and loyal to Him and trustworthy with Him, right? But He's living in you, constantly telling you the answers to the questions on the test. And we're wanting to say that we can't get the right answers on the paper? When He's living in us, telling us the whole time what the answers are? I mean, it's a gimme, y'all. It's a gimme. Verse 1. Some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? Okay, tradition of the elders, not Torah, tradition. Man-made rules. Why aren't your disciples following our little man-made rules? Why don't you say it Yahshua? Why don't you say it Yeshua? Why don't you say it Yahushua? I'm not picking on anybody, but everybody's got their own little private name and they all demand you say it. I got an email right now from somebody. Do you use the sacred names the way we want them? No. It's Yahshua here. We're in the South. That's a joke, y'all. It's not about the sacred names. It's about living your life. If you're not living the life, it doesn't matter if you luck up on the proper name. It doesn't matter because your life is betraying you. It's the quality of your life, not the quality of your words. Why are you breaking our traditions? I could have listed anything. Calendars. I mean, there's a bunch of them. Look, you get out in the Messianic world, and you can probably find 45 heresies in short order. Boom, 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 boom. All the little man-made rules. They got no scripture for it. One lady's trying to take some obscure scripture in early Genesis to say that all men have to wear head coverings. You got no Torah verse that says a man has to wear head coverings. You got no Torah verse that says a woman has to wear head covering. And they want to make a federal case. Oh, you got to wear your head coverings. What? Give me a chapter and a verse. Somewhere, anywhere. Now, if they want to wear the head coverings and they can be peaceable about it, I don't really care. But my experience is they can't be peaceable about it. They come in, they want everybody to wear head coverings. So they start imposing it on folks and stirring trouble. If you want to wear it, nobody mess with you. If you don't want to wear it, nobody mess with you. If you want to use the sacred names, I don't care. As long as you don't make a federal case out of it with everybody else. Oh, and there's so many varieties too. And everybody's so stuck, it's got to be there. You know, I was told by three ladies, we would love to support your ministry if you'll just quit using JC. It ain't a cuss word, y'all. It's not a cuss word. They don't wash their hands before they eat. We're not even talking about like we're going to do, go in the bathroom and soap and water, right? Kill germs, sanitation. I love that. This is a ritual. They're not even washing their hands. They're pouring water over a couple of fingers and saying a barucha. They don't wash their hands before they eat. You got a Torah verse for that? Thou shalt always wash thy hands before thou eat. I didn't see that. I didn't see that in there. I read it a lot of times. It must have been hidden in there pretty good. Look at Jesus. He doesn't take this nonsense for a second. He hits them right back in their face. And why do you break the commandment of God to support the traditions of your elders? Woo! Oh, you're talking about bringing some smoke off of somebody. Watch this one. For God said, honor your father and mother, and whoever curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help I'm due to give you, I'm going to devote it to the temple instead. Oh, then he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Oops. You hypocrites. Oops. Isaiah was right about you when he prophesied, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain because their teachings are rules taught by men. What the Torah requires is required. What the Torah does not require is not required. I can add nothing to it. I can take nothing away from it. When you want to walk by faith, you walk by the Torah. You don't add to it. You don't take away from it. Perry Stone is convicted not to go to movies. There's no Torah verse for that. He doesn't teach don't go to movies. He just tells people, I can't go to the movie because I'm convicted. I'm not supposed to go to the movie. Okay, that's cool for Brother Stone. Maybe there's a reason why the Lord told Brother Stone to stay out of movies. I don't know. Maybe you got a conviction. Maybe the Lord's told you something. Don't do that. It's not a rule for everybody else. It's just something in your life you've got to avoid because you've got a problem. The Lord jumps my case all the time over my problems, all right? I hope He's jumping your case over your problems. Those are things you got to do for your walk with Him. But we can't come in here and say, oh, you can't do thus and such. You got to do thus and such. Because you know what? The law of God is about freedom. The law of God is about freedom. And when we go further than what the law says and start imposing my convictions on you and your convictions on me, that's not freedom, that's a burden. Now, in some versions of this Bible, it drops down and it says, because of this, Jesus made all foods clean. That's in parentheses. You know what parentheses means in your Bible? It means that was added later. It's not a part of the original. Look it up in the front part of your Bible. I'll tell you that. Jesus didn't make any foods clean. It's either broma, which in the Hebrew means fit for human consumption, or it's not broma. He never changed the law of broma. He told them, don't worry about whether you wash your hands. Look down at the bottom of the passage. I'm running out of time. Verse 20. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. Do you disagree with that? Those make you unclean. Those are what go on the sin list. Those are what we beg for mercy and forgiveness from. But eating with unwashed hands does not make a man unclean. You might catch cold. You might ought to want to wash them for health reasons. But that's not a Torah rule. Because you know what? I get on the job all the time. Here I'm pulling the trash and then all kind of stuff. And if I need a little something to eat and there's something for me, I can bring my sandwich on Sunday morning tomorrow. I get on that second job, I'm waiting for that sandwich, but I'm pulling the trash. I don't have time to wash my hands. Alcohol gel sometimes, and sometimes I'm just trying to scarf it down because they're running and Lisa's going, well, I don't get a sandwich to eat. And Raina's like, come on, hurry up. I got work to do. So it's just run, man. It's just run, right? Just scarf it down quick between cans. Eating with unwashed hands does not make a man unclean. Breaking the Torah does. Breaking the Torah does. Yeshua does not like man-made rules. In fact, he hates them. In fact, he despises extra man-made rules. Those things make people feel important to themselves. It makes them feel special, and it makes them feel like they're better than everybody else because they're following their man-made rules. Look at Luke chapter 18. Don't have time to give you the vegetarian story, but there is one. I was one for a long time, 8 years. But I considered myself better than the people that ate meat. You follow man-made rules, it puffs you up. It's not good. Matthew 18, verse 9. to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Okay? So he's standing around Pharisees that follow their own man-made rules, and because of them, they think they're better than everybody else. They think everybody else is a heathen because they're not following the Pharisees' little man-made rules. Luke 18, that's my bad. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this silly tax collector. See, he's standing in the house of the Lord and he's talking bad to God about the man standing next to him. He doesn't even know this fool. He doesn't know if this guy's the best guy on planet Earth. He doesn't know if this guy's Mother Teresa pre-incarnate. He doesn't know who this guy is. He's talking junk in his heart because he feels so good about himself because he keeps his special man-made rules. They lift you up in your own eyes when instead we're supposed to be abasing ourselves on our own eyes so that God will lift us up in due time later. This is the opposite of what he's supposed to do. I fast twice a week and I tithe. You know what God said? In a different place, Jesus said, if you only do your duty, you're an unprofitable servant. It's your duty to tithe. You don't go bragging to God because you tithe. That's your duty. You didn't do nothing. You didn't do anything. All you did was give your tithe. That was your obligation. When you put the little offering on top of it, that's doing something. Ah, but if you're fully tithe, then those offerings get smaller, don't they? Because you got a lot less to offer from. Right? Right? Come on. I got a lot of money. But the tax collector, y'all know I do taxes, right? Just a little disclaimer, I am one of these, right? I stand at a distance. I don't even look up to heaven, but beat my breast and say, God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. Now, this guy was collecting taxes for Rome. He might have been good, he might not have been good. They don't really tell you. A lot of the tax collectors were bad. That's why the people hated him. I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God, because everybody who humbles exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. How do you humble yourself? What is the correct and right biblical way to humble yourself before God? Live by His Word. Follow the rules He gives you. Don't add to it or take away from it, but just live it and do it. And let Him have His perfect work in you through the Holy Spirit that lives in you. Listening for that quiet, still voice of God and following it. When it guides you, go to the right or go to the left. The special rules and the hidden knowledge make us think we're more pleasing to God, when in fact it makes us stink on ice. Especially when we're not living by His rules and we're just keeping the man-made rules. So say, I find this to be a rule too among folks. They get so involved in their own man-made rules, they quit keeping the God-made rules and they put priority. I'm dealing with a person right now. Great teacher. But they're not walking it. I've had this problem with folks from the messianic side of life the whole time I've been doing it. I've challenged four or five of them personally. You teach it well. Great man of God. But you don't walk it at home. It's not the teaching it that makes you special to God. It's the living it that makes you special to God. Because if you're not willing to live it at home, your teaching it makes you guilty of sin. Think about it for a minute. If I stand up here and preach against adultery but got a girlfriend, guess who's going to hang? Think about it for a minute. If I stand up here and excoriate people over the dietary laws and run down here to the pig house, who's going to hang? If I stand up here and berate everybody on Sabbath observance and go to work, who's going to hang? It's not the teaching it, it's the living it. And if I'm willing to live it at home, then I can be as bad and bold up here as I want to be, and guess what? Favor. Favor with God. You can only be as bold up here as to walk in your life. And I'm not bragging, but I'm walking it at home, and folks that have been in my house know it. I got my little issues. Yeah, you can trip me off and I'll say some things I probably shouldn't. Especially in traffic. I mean, get me started on that. A woman texting by the time I finally got to the front and saw her up there 30 miles an hour in a bypass, texting away, man. I wanted to run her off in the ditch, man. I really did it. But hey, praise God, I recovered my conversion and just passed on the right and went around, you know. But you know what? It's the living it. It's the walking it at home. It's the keeping the Sabbath holy. It's the showing up on holy days and offering Him not just the monetary things, but your heart, your body, your soul, your mind. It's putting your whole self into this way of life, because this is the way of life God has commanded every one of us to keep. This is the way of life. This is what brings the Holy Ghost fire out more brilliantly. This is what makes your life straighten up. Are you going to go through suffering and trials? Doggone right. I am never going to preach to you that your life is going to be all sunshine and roses from the time you start living this. No, you got family demons to work out 4 generations back. You got personal demons to work out. You got personal issues. You got all that seed you sowed. Some of us was busy. Some of y'all weren't busy, but some of us were busy. I got a lot of seed out there. I'm still weeding. Get the hoe out because you're going to need it. And you've got to prove faithful through suffering. You are going to have to be confronted with the loss of jobs, loss of home, loss of family, loss of spouse, loss of children. You are going to have to prove faithful. And let me tell you a little secret. As a man that's a veteran, take your first up. Take your first up. Because God increases the pain with each up. Right? Come on. Come on, somebody. Take your first job loss. Take it. It's the easy one. The second one's going to be real bad. You get down. Look, I'm German, right? I'm German. I'm hard-headed and I'm stubborn. I don't get it. When you get down to the fourth and fifth times you get tested on something, He's not playing, it's hard. Take your first up out. Take your first one. It's the best one. It's the easy one. The first one's like the T-ball pitch, right? It's already on the stand. All you got to do is swing and hit it. When you get down to 4 and 5, baby, we're playing major league ball, and that devil can throw them hard balls in there, man. And it ain't no penalty when he hits you in the thigh and you crippled for a long time. Come on, I'm just saying. Take your first one. Take it. It's right on the T-ball stand. All you got to do is swing. Take your first one. Doesn't matter if it hits and falls and runs around and you get knocked out. It's okay. John chapter 5. I have watched so many people get on the internet, jump into some heresy. They never bother to check the teachers and who these people are and what their lives are like and whether what they're teaching you is from the Bible. Matter of fact, look, I'm not trying to restrict your sources of information when I say stay away from that stuff. I'm not trying to be harsh or overbearing when I say stay away from that stuff. What I tell everybody is the same thing. Learn this first. Learn this first. Then when you go online, you know what you're looking at. Then when you go online, you got a basis to say that's right and that's wrong, that's good, that's bad. Learn this first, man. Because when you go learn somebody else's tradition and then you start reading the Bible through shades, you're not going to get the truth out of the Bible. You're going to get it based on those shades. Take the shades off. Take the words straight. It will cure a host of ills. Then when you want to go learn stuff, you'll find neat little tidbits. Oh, did you know that? Blah, 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 blah. But beforehand, you're going to be led off in the wilderness, man. There's a million detours. Jesus said, wide is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate that leads you to righteousness. So stay on it. Just stay on it. I told people one time, I said, you know what? When we finally get down to the place where we live in all the God-made rules, then we'll start thinking about some man-made rules. But we ain't to the place where we live in the God-made rules, so what we care about man-made rules yet? We still got a long way to go just to get right with the Lord. So let's just stay on that narrow track and get right with Him. John chapter 5, verse 36. Jesus speaking, I have testimony weightier than that of John, for the very work that my Father has given me to finish and which I am doing testifies that the Father has sent me. Do you believe the Father sent Him? Do you believe that His works that are written in this book for you, this testimony, do you believe it's true? The Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. Do you believe it when it said, and the voice spoke from heaven saying, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased? Do you believe that? Though you've never heard his voice nor see his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. Okay, if you believe that Christ is the one he sent, then you will bring his word to dwell in you. Ooh. I'm looking at it wrong. You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about me, yet you have refused to come to me to have life. Do you believe the Scriptures about Him? Then there's another step you got to take. As you got to come to Him. You got to come to Him. It's not just reading the words in the book. You've got to have a real, literal, live relationship with Him. I do not accept praise from men, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I've come in my Father's name and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, him you will accept. How can you go to teachers on the internet before you've come to the Lord? How can you go to teachers on the internet? See, we're so easy to accept another human being that tells us you got to do it this way, you got to do it that way. Rules, 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 rules. Where's the faith in Yeshua Messiah? Where's the faith in Yeshua Messiah? In a little bit, we're going to talk about the great things that God has done in the lives of the people sitting in this room right here. Has God done stuff in your life? He's done a lot of stuff in my life. I could literally spend from now until midnight telling you the things He's done in my life for me. I came to Him. I didn't just study about Him. I actually came to Him, the living, real, personal Jesus. Oh, you're insane, Pastor. You can't talk to God. I'll tell you what, the man is insane who doesn't talk to God. Amen. The man that doesn't know Him is insane. God is the only sane thing in the whole creation. And if you're not talking to your Creator, you're lost and without God in the world. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone comes in his own name, him you will accept. How can it be that we accept other people before we accept Him? How can it be we're interested in what other people have to say about the Scriptures, but we don't want to hear about what He's got to say about the Scriptures? Who were they to tell us anything about the Scriptures when we got to live in Jesus Christ to tell us about the Scriptures? That's what I learned about horse caving in the Torah portion. Throw the commentaries away. What has the Lord got to say about the Pasha this week? It's His Pasha. They didn't write it. None of them lived when it was written. None of them knew Moses. None of them knew Aaron. They didn't even know Joshua a generation later. And yet, 2,000 years after the fact, reading a text written in archaic Hebrew from ancient days, these guys are going to tell us what they meant. That's absurd. And we don't want to go to the living Christ and find out from Him what He meant? He's the one that told Moses all these words saying, why would we go to anybody else to find out what He meant? We're just like the Pharisees. We want another person to tell us. We want the approval of another person. That's foolishness. We live at the end of the age when the Lord's about to return and take the saints home, and we want the approval of another person who's in the same boat we are, having to confess their sins and get forgiven, maybe living it, maybe not living it. Show me your life, man. Show me your life. You living by the Torah? You keeping the holy days? Then you can explain stuff to me. But when you don't keep the holy days, you don't keep the Sabbath, you ain't even got the first base in the Bible, and you want to tell me what the holy word of God says? You keep pagan days and you eat filth and you want to explain to me what God says in the Bible. I don't care what you say. You don't have any standing with God. You don't got no standing with me. And you got no standing in the Word. That's right. I've been living this 25 years. I've kept a lot of feast days. I've kept a lot of Sabbaths. I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues. I know what the Word says because I've got standing with God to show I know what the Word says. I've got standard in my life for living it and breathing it and eating it and sleeping it to show you what the Word says. I've got standing because I've taught my children the Word from birth. When somebody can show me with their life that they're living it on this level, then I'm interested to hear what they got to say. I'm a teachable man. I can be taught. I learn to glean from all kind of folks. But when folks want to talk to me about what the Word says and this language means this, when they've never spent 20 minutes walking it in their life, they got no faith to tell me about the Holy Bible. Show me your faith by your works, man. I will show you my faith by my works. And I'm not a novice anymore. I've been doing this a very long time. Revelation chapter 3. The Torah is how to handle your flesh. The Torah teaches you the set times of God's presence. The Torah shows you the protocol of heaven to walk in the presence of the living God and how to handle your flesh and how to conduct yourself when the Lord is in the house. It's the Spirit of God in you that you can interact with God with. Look it up in any concordance, look it up in any Bible dictionary. Pneuma and Ruach mean the same thing. The intangible part of a human being that can have contact with God. You can interface Him because of the Spirit within you. Without the Spirit of God in you, you cannot interface the living God. The Torah is how to handle your flesh so that you can be in a place to interface with your God. The Torah is how to handle yourself in the presence of God. You don't just do any old thing that you want to do. The Torah gives you the rules for holiness so you know how to walk, you know how to talk, you know how to behave in the presence of the great King. But it's the Spirit of the living God that allows you to have that contact when His presence is in the room. We've had presence of God in the room so strong some of us couldn't even get up off the ground and other folks were near. Well, I didn't feel God. That's totally possible. Look through the Bible. You can see it all through the Bible. One person's having a great move. One person's oblivious. Why? I don't know. Maybe they're not handling their flesh right by the Torah. Maybe they're not in the Spirit today. Maybe the God encounter wasn't for them today. I don't know. But if you want it, if you're hungry for Him, if you want Him, then you're willing to handle your flesh in a way to make it happen. You're willing to access the Spirit of God and to get into the Spirit of God so you can be there when it does happen. If you want Him, you're willing to make the changes to accommodate Him. Waiting on the Lord is an active process, not an inactive process. Lord, what music would you like? Lord, what word would you like today? Lord, how would you like the worship to go? Lord, would you like me to kneel today? Would you like me to lay on my face today? Lord, do you want me to jump and shout? Lord, how is it moving? Lord, what do you want? Lord, what do you want? Lord, what do you want? That's waiting on the Lord. Not sitting around twiddling your thumbs with your shades on and a cold beer. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. I know your deeds. I know your works. It always comes back down to works. Go 77. It always comes back down to works. He knows your deeds or lack thereof because that's how your faith is defined. So when He comes to your house and you write your name in there, Billy Schultz, I know your deeds. What are those deeds? When you write your name in there, what are those deeds? See, I've placed before you an open door that nobody can shut. I know you have little strength. Look around. Look around. This is the full hungry hearts minus two people. Look around. We got little strength. Yet you've kept my word and not denied my name. Keeping His word is not denying His name. Keeping His word is not denying His name. From Genesis to maps, keeping His word is not denying His name. If you don't keep His word, you've denied His name. If you don't live by His word, you have denied His name. Has nothing to do with the proper noun that you use. It has to do with the quality of your life. I'll never emphasize it enough because this is straight word. This is true word. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. If you'll humble yourself by living His word, He will exalt you in due time in ways you will be uncomfortable with. But He's doing it because that's what He wants. And look at this. Since There's no sense without what goes before it, right? You can't get to sense if you didn't do what it was required to be sense. Since you have kept my command to endure, maybe that should be changed. I bet you can look at it in a different version. It says, since you keep my commandments and have endured patiently, I will keep you from the hour of trial. Since you keep my commandments, I will keep you from the hour of trial. Man, Iran wants to nuke us right now. What kind of trial will be going on? Okay, it doesn't take a full nuclear attack, right? If they detonate a nuclear bomb, a little tiny one, 6 miles over the United States, nothing electrical is going to work again in your lifetime. That means you've got to tote water from the stream. That means you've got to cook on sticks. That means no food is coming in the tractor trailer. That's called famine and pestilence in short order. What's it worth to you to be kept from the hour of trial? What's it worth to you to be kept from the hour of trial? What the Lord told me last night was, I will not rescue anybody that doesn't live by my laws. Okay? So if you want a ticket out of here, some of y'all don't remember the song, Two Tickets to Paradise, right? If you want your two tickets to paradise, the way to get them is to live by His laws and commandments and be filled with His Spirit. That's the only way to get your ticket out of into paradise. Because anything else is going to leave you stuck here for the hour of trial. You know, you didn't want to do it now, so you're going to learn later why you really did. You don't want to learn later why you really need to do it now. You don't want to learn later why you really need to listen to your pastor pleading and begging you every week to live this way of life. Because the time is coming when if you ain't living this way of life, you're going to find out the hard way. And at that time, you're not going to be able to say, well, I wished he'd told me. No, at that time, you're going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth going, I wished I'd paid attention and going, fool, that's all he ever talked about. Now I know why. I want every one of you to be standing there together with us. We'll be able to say, we were the hungry hearts that put him first because we had faith in Yeshua Messiah. We were the ones that stood.